Exodus chapter 8, and we'll begin reading verse 5, Exodus chapter 8, and amen. If you would stand as we read the scripture, we'll read a few verses of scripture here. It'll be a blessing and encouragement to our heart in this time the Lord's given us. Exodus chapter 8, and beginning in verse 5, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt, and the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people. And I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me, when shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy house, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy house, and from thy servants, and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. And when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said." Amen. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for this time you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the good singing. Lord, thank you, God, for the choir. God, I thank you, Lord, for Bible school this morning. And God, just good for God's people to dwell together in unity and in love. And God, I pray, Lord, that you just bless in this time you've given us. Lord, as we look in your word, God, I pray that you anoint us afresh with the Holy Ghost of God and use us for your glory. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd have that accomplished, Lord, you'd have to this morning. God, if there's one that's lost, I pray you deal with that heart and they'd get saved before it's too late, God. I pray your people be encouraged and we'll be drawn close to you through everything that's said and done. God, we'll bow in worthy head and thank you and praise you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Here in Exodus chapter 8, maybe unusual to just kind of jump into this story here, but I want us to look at this. Actually, this is the second plague that was given to the people of Pharaoh, the people of Egypt, and that day. Actually, the first was the waters were turned to blood, and there was a couple things. It's interesting that there was a couple things that they did that the magicians could copy, and I think one of the most interesting things about this story was that after that they had the frogs all over the place, God had put them there. Here these magicians started making more frogs too. Ain't that something? Amen. Didn't they know they're just adding to the, something to misery? What is it? Adding more to misery anyhow. They were just adding more to the trouble that they were in. But anyhow, this is just one of the plagues. And it seemed like a couple services ago, I talked about how that Pharaoh hardened his heart. And I guess it was Wednesday night, maybe, as we were talking about the pillar of the cloud and the pillar of fire, and how that the same sun that melts wax is the same sun that hardens the clay. And that heart was being hardened of Pharaoh's, and God's people's heart was being touched and softened because they were seeing God bless and they were seeing God deliver them. And so the same action was given two different reactions according to what their heart was, you see. Well, the Bible tells us, you know, where a heart is, that's where our treasure lies. And thanks be to God, if our heart's right, we're saved by the grace of God. When God blesses and when God touches and His Word is given to us and we hear something from God, it'll be a blessing to us. It'll be an encouragement to us. Even if it's something that, you know, we need to get fixed up in our life, it'll be, yes, oh me, and amen, and we'll get it right, and we'll start headed in the right direction, praise God. But if it's something, you know, that we have decided, you know, that we're going away from God and getting out of the will of God, it may be something that continues to harden our heart, as it did old Pharaoh. And boy, that's a sad place to be in, is for your heart to just keep getting harder and harder to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what the devil wants, because the Bible says he's the god of this world and he's blinding the hearts, blinding the minds and the hearts of folks in this day. Well, this picture of old Pharaoh, I think, is very interesting. We want to look at a couple of things, that, in particular, what he says here and what happens. Of course, the frogs were always in the rivers and the ponds and everything, but he called for them to come up on the land and for them to just be in everywhere. I mean, be in the house. I mean, can you imagine a day that you're going around in the house and instead of sweeping up the dirt, you have to sweep frogs up? Amen. They just frogs everywhere. Everywhere you go and every room in your house and out in the yard and over at the neighbor's house and everywhere you go, man, they just frogs just a-hopping everywhere. I mean, under God, it was a mess. I mean, this plague had infested every single home of the land of Egypt. Every one of them had frogs. Amen. I mean, God had sent 10 different plagues to them. This was a second plague that He sent, and every one of them just seemed to be a little bit worse. And every time, though, it seemed like Pharaoh would say, yes, I'm going to let God's people go. Yes, I'm going to let them go. But then he would harden his heart at the end, and he would say no. He would say no. In fact, even after the last plague that was given was the death of the firstborn child of each home. Even after that plague, he did let him go. But his heart hardened again, and he went after him. He chased after him, and he chose to try to see him killed. But of course, we know that God delivered him every time, didn't he? Ain't that a blessing, how God delivers and how God blesses? But I want you to look at one thing in particular that old Pharaoh did, and it's a very, very interesting. I mean, in fact, I think it's something to realize what he chose to do. I mean, he says, listen, Pharaoh says, he calls for old Moses, and I've said before, you notice how God did this thing. I've said before, old Moses, it kind of reminds me of how I was when I set up the call to preach. I used to stutter a whole bunch and still do, especially if I talk about it and think about it. Can't explain for spluttering, you know, sometimes. And, you know, Moses said, I ain't going to be able to say nothing. I'm not going to be able to talk. And he said, all right, well, I'll send your brother. Well, I'll take care of that complaint. I'll send your brother. And we don't actually find him saying anything, but we do find him doing some things every once in a while. This time Aaron stretched forth his hand. You notice that in the scripture? Aaron's the one that stretched forth his hand. He still put in the work, didn't he? Even though he's down there. Well, you wouldn't let him say nothing because God had already touched Moses, and Moses realized he could do what God called him to do. Amen. We ought to realize that. God calls us to do something. Same God that calls us is the same God that can equip us. Amen. The same God, somebody said, where God leads, He precedes. He's already there in front of you, preparing the way. He's already in front of you, making the path clear, praise God. Amen. Well, all right, that's another thought, another message, but amen. He did that in his own ministry, didn't he? John the Baptist came and prepared the way of the Lord. Amen. He prepared the way. Amen. But listen, the Bible tells us, old Aaron stretched forth his hand and the frogs came up. They covered the land of Egypt. They, magicians, they were, I tell you what, Pharaoh probably fired every one of them after that. You bunch of idiots, here we got all these frogs and you bring up a whole bunch more. That's crazy. But anyhow, frogs everywhere you go. I guess the only consolation, maybe they could eat frog legs, I don't know. But the Bible tells us, then Pharaoh, in verse 8, listen to this, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people. I'll let the people go that they may sacrifice unto the Lord. Get these frogs out of here. But we're tired of them. They're everywhere. We're tired of these frogs. Moses said to Pharaoh, glory over me. And in other words, he's saying, you know, have me this honor. I'm going to, entreat. He said, when shall I entreat for thee, for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy house, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, listen to what he said, tomorrow. Ain't that something? I mean, here the man of God was, he called for him, he called for Aaron. Here these frogs was everywhere. And I mean, probably everywhere they went, they had to kick a frog out of the way to make a path to walk, or they wouldn't step on them. They was just everywhere. And he comes up and they're hopping around. They're probably hopping around right in front of them when they're talking. And he said, when you want me to get rid of them? Tomorrow. Tomorrow. He said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. Hey, I want to preach to you just a little bit this morning about one more night with the frogs. One more night with the frogs. Ain't that what he chose to do? He said, tomorrow. I mean, we're going to tough it out with these frogs again. I'm going to let my people sleep with frogs. I'm going to let them just go to bed with them. They're going to have frogs everywhere. All night long, we're going to see them one more night with the frogs. You know, you say, well, preacher, what in the world does that apply, and how does that apply to us? Well, I believe there's a lot of people that says they're going to stay one more night with the frogs. They're going to be one more night under the plague of God, one more day under the judgment of God, one more day away from God's protection and God's goodness, one more time they're going to say. In fact, the devil comes by many, many times of folks when they sing that song, and they'll say, well, you can come back one more time. You can come back tonight to the service. You don't have to respond this morning. Just put it off for one more night. Just put it off for one more day. You'll have another chance. You'll have another opportunity. That's one of the biggest lies the devil has. Amen. In fact, he might even tell you. He might even tell you what that preacher's saying is right. You know you need to get right. That's okay to know that, but just do it later. Just put it off till tomorrow. Just put it off for another day. And boy, that's one thing. I mean, if he just continues to do that, but folks will just put it off and put it off and put it off. And when they do, it'll happen exactly like it happened to Pharaoh. Their heart will get a little bit harder. And their heart will get a little bit harder. And their heart will get a little bit harder. But they're saying like old Pharaoh did, one more night with the frogs. One more night with this plague that's upon me. One more night. I'll set one more night under the judgment hand of Almighty God. Ain't that something? The folk do it over and over again, don't they? Let me give you a few things of what this means. One more night with the frogs. First of all, one more night with the frogs means they're going to continue under the judgment of God. God has put His judgment upon them. God has brought this plague down upon them. And they're saying one more night with the frogs, one more night, one more day. And that means they're going to be under the judgment hand of God for another day, for another night, for another time. They're putting off again the opportunity to get things right, putting off the opportunity to have this plague move completely away from them. He called for the man of God. And God would have took care of it. He said, entreat. When? When? He could have said right now, couldn't he? Right. He could have said right now, I've had enough right now. Well, I guess he hadn't had enough, had he?
That's right. Nope.
Ain't that something? How does people justify that? I mean, this is so it's so hard to comprehend. Maybe it ain't when you're in sin. Right. But I tell you what, you got things right with God, and you know the blessings of God, and you know the goodness of God, and you know how good He is, praise the Lord. I tell you what, I can't comprehend how you'd want to wait one more day. I can't comprehend how you'd want to wait one more night to get things right with the Lord.
Amen.
I've talked to folks before, and man, they put it off, and they'll sit there and agree with you. They'll say, preacher, I know I need to get right. I know I need to do this. I know I need to do that. I know I need to get in church. I know I need to quit this relationship. All these type of things. What do? They just stay in it one more night. They just stay in it one more day. They just stay in a little bit longer. And they're still under the judgment hand of God a little bit longer. I can't really understand it, but I know what the Bible says. Let me give you a couple passages of Scripture that might help us a little bit. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." And it says, "Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." I mean, how in the world could somebody say, you know, I'm under this judgment of God. I know the Lord's dealing with me. I know things ain't right. I know that I'm going through a tough time. The Bible says the ways of a transgressor are hard. I know I'm going through this. I know I need to get right. But I'm just going to put it off. I wonder if there aren't some folks that their conscience has been seared. I mean, their conscience has got so far that it just nothing bothers them anymore. They say it does. They say they know they need to get right. They say they know this and that and the other. But they've just gone so far that they've got harder and harder and callous to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we've got folks like that in this day and time. I believe we've got folks like that in Cherville. Amen? I believe we do. They're not beyond hope. There may be some that are beyond hope. But I believe there's a lot that they're not beyond hope, but they've turned away the gospel of Jesus Christ many times. They've said, one more night with the frogs. One more night. I'll just stay in the mess I'm in. Why in the world do you want to stay in the mess you're in?
Amen.
Well, to God, I mean, listen, if you'd come to your senses, you'd get out of it. Amen. Old prodigal son, he was down there in the hog pen. But when he came to his right mind, he wanted to get out of the hog pen. He realized what kind of mess he was in. He realized he wasn't supposed to be down there feeding the hogs and messing around with the hogs and in the slop. Hey, he had been changed. I tell you what, old, what does the Scripture say? The old hog and will return to its mire and the dog will go back to his vomit. But listen, if you're saved by the grace of God, there's been a change in your life. If you're saved by God's grace and God's goodness, you won't want to wallow in the mire. You'll want to get things right, praise God. But the devil will deceive us and cause us to think, well, I'll get right, but I'll do it later. I'll get right, but I'll put it off for another time. I'm reminded of old Felix that talked to Paul, and he said that he'd call him back a more convenient season. I'll call you back at another time. I'll call you back a little bit later. Hey, what's a more convenient season? Well, the man of God right there can pray with you and help you get to God, and you done heard the preaching of the Word of God, and you're there in the house of God. What in the world's a better time? You ain't going to have a more convenient season. That's a lie the devil wants to give you. Praise God, you get in here in the house of God and get under the preaching of the Word of God, and folks has been praying. Hey, there's folks praying for this church that aren't even able to attend this church and be at the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. We got folks in the nursing home. We got folks that are not able to be here, but they're praying every day that God will bless here at the house of God. And we come here on Sunday morning, and folks has been praying God will meet with us and God will help us and God will take care of some needs in some folks' lives. And then we come in here and we hear the songs of Zion. We hear the choir sing. We hear some specials. We hear the preaching of the Word of God. How in the world can we leave out of here and say, I want to stay one more night with the frogs. I want to stay one more night in the condition I'm in. Oh. I tell you what. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to have the peace of God. It's a blessing to have peace with God. It's a blessing to lay your head on the pillar at night and know that everything's all right. It's a blessing to know that, praise God, if the Lord was to call, everything would be all right. Rapture take place. Praise God, won't be ashamed before Him at His coming. That's a blessing. But I tell you what, if we can't say that, we ought to gather around the altar and get things right. We ought to take the opportunity when God's a-moving, when God's a-dealing. Hey, listen, old Felix had a space of, what was it, 3 years or something like that. And we don't read it one more time that he called Paul back.
Amen.
Oh, you know why? Because he knew he'd be under the conviction of God one more time. He knew the Holy Ghost of God would deal with his heart one more time, and he'd talk about being almost there and almost ready to like Agrippa was. I believe he was the same way. He could have come to the Lord, but he didn't ever find a more convenient season than right now when God's dealing with him. You won't neither. You won't find a more convenient season, more convenient time. Hey, I've done the same thing myself. Lord God, God's dealt with me about something and in the service and everything, and I said, well, Lord God, if I go down, they'll think, I mean, I'm a preacher, and they'll think I'm just all messed up, and I'll just put it off some other time, and I'll just go home and pray about it. No, the best time's right there when God deals with you.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Don't care, fool you on what everybody else thinks. Just get things right with God, amen.
Amen.
You the ones going to have to stay with the frogs, not them. Amen. Listen, let me give you another passage. Ephesians chapter 4 says in verse 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." I believe that's where old Pharaoh was. He was just, his conscience was seared and he was past feeling. He said, "But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." Boy, you get to the Lord. You get to him. And praise God, you can get things right. Amen. You get to him and he'll move the frogs out of the way. Amen. You just go ahead and get to him right now. You go ahead and get to him right then when he's a dealing, praise God. I wouldn't want to stay under the judgment hand of God. I know you don't want to, do you? I mean, really, we don't want to. But the devil will feed us some kind of lie, won't he, to stay that way. Let me say not only that, second of all, let me say, one more night with the frogs meant continuing under the judgment of God. One more night with the frogs meant putting off God's salvation one more day. Putting off God's salvation one more day. Like I said, somebody said, well, more convenient season. Somebody said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. There's been many that have made a lot of statements like that. I'll never forget talking to a young man, and I was a young man myself. We was both teenagers, or maybe I was a teenager then. I might not even been a teenager yet. One of them preteen years that we so dread coming up with our boys. But anyhow, I remember talking to him and him saying, as a young boy, him telling me, "I've just done too many things wrong." He said, "I've just committed so much sin." And I thought to myself, you're just a young man. I mean, think about this. And I told him, I said, there's a lot more years. If God tarries and God gives you health, you'll have a lot more years in your life. But as a teenager, he said, "I've sinned too much. I've done too many things wrong, and I can't get right with God." Ain't that sad? How many folks just have every different excuse there is to put off God's salvation? I tell you what, there's not any excuse that's good. And there's none of them will stand up before the judgment of God. One of these days, if we put off salvation, if we put off turning to the Lord and being saved by the grace of God, we'll stand at the great white throne judgment and we'll wish we could take back an hour, we could take back a day, we could go back to a time when we heard the preaching of the Word of God, when we heard the invitation played and we didn't respond. We'd like to be in one of those services one more time. No way we can turn back the clock. Because we chose at that moment to stay another night with the frogs. We chose at that moment to put it off one more day, one more time. Old Pharaoh said, "Come back tomorrow. Come back tomorrow." How strange was that? How silly was that? Lord God, what a blessing it is. What a happy day it is. What a wonderful day it is when you just turn it over to God. You quit holding on to the reins and you just turn it over to the Lord. And say, "Lord, I trust you. Lord, I believe you." Amen. It's good to put our trust in Him, ain't it? Good to put our trust in the Lord. See people sometimes, I'll relate this little story to you. You see people a lot of times, they see a penny laying on the down and everything, and they'll Some folks will look at it and they'll look and see if it's on heads or not. And if it's on heads, they'll pick it up. Unless a black cat runs over it. Or if it's under a ladder. Or if there's a mirror broke beside of it, you know. They'll pick it up, you know, if it's on head. If it's on tail, they won't pick it up. For a long time, Brother Johnny, I've decided I'm going to pick it up and put it in the offer. Amen. I've decided I'm going to pick it up and put it in there with the change, put in that Thanksgiving offering or put it in missions or something or other. I don't care if it's on heads or tails. It don't matter. But I read a story about a man that actually he was very wealthy. And he had a lady that was working for him, and this couple was invited to go to dinner and everything with this wealthy man. And he was on the way into the restaurant with them, nice restaurant and everything. And he looked at he seen a penny laying there, and he stopped. And he looked at it for a moment and paused for a little bit, bent down, picked it up, put it in his pocket. And him being a very wealthy man, the lady was very confused when she got to the restaurant, thinking, why in the world would he, as a millionaire or whatever he was, very wealthy, why would he bend down and just pick up one penny? A lot of people don't even have, I've heard people today that say that we ought to just do away with pennies. And, you know, but anyhow, at the restaurant, she couldn't get it off her mind. She started thinking about it, and she finally asked the man and said, well, you know, why did you bend down and pick up that penny? Was it, you know, was it something that was, do you collect coins or whatever? I think she had somebody in her family that collected coins, and she said, do you collect coins? Was it very valuable or whatever? And he said, he paused for a minute, he reached down in his pocket, he got the penny out, and he looked at it, and he paused again, just like he did before, and paused and looked at it. I wonder if I got a penny. That'd help the illustration, wouldn't it? He paused and looked at it for just a little bit, and he said, no, every penny, every piece of money has got an inscription on the top of it that says, in God we trust. And he said, and every time I see a piece of money, I want to pick it up and read that right there and pause for just a moment and think, am I trusting in God right now? Am I believing in Him? Am I trusting Him? Ain't that a blessing? God's allowed us to live in a country that's got that written on our money. And we can stop and we can think about, are we trusting in God? Are we believing in Him? Wonder how many chances we got to think about that. How many pieces of money we got in our pocket, just change or just dollar bills or whatever. And it says, in God. In God we trust. Hey, what a privilege we have to live for the Lord and to serve Him. What a privilege we have that when we realize that we need to get things right with God, we say, I'm going to forget trusting in myself and I'm going to start believing in God. I'm not going to stay one more night with my own in my own efforts, in my own abilities. I don't know if Pharaoh thought, I don't think he thought for a moment that his magician's going to be able to do anything to get rid of these frogs. Them idiots had done brought more frogs in. I mean, he didn't think that for a moment. So why did he wait another night? Why did he wait another day? Why did he choose to do that? Nothing but the hardness of his heart. Nothing but him saying, I'm just going to trust in myself. I'm going to believe in myself. I'm not going to trust God. I'm not going to turn over to God. I'm not going to give Him an inch. God says, I don't want just an inch. I want it all. I want you to turn your life over to me. I want you to believe me. I want you to trust me. Praise God. What a blessing. Only trust Him. Amen. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, familiar passage of Scripture. I remember that not long, as a young boy, I remember memorizing this Scripture, or at least the latter part of this Scripture, and just thinking about, you know, every time I talk to somebody about the Lord, I tried to give them this Scripture right here too. Because I didn't want them to put it off. Didn't want them to wait another day. Just get things right now. 2 Corinthians 6, 2, the Bible says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Like I said earlier, this is the day the Lord's given us. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. What else could we rejoice in any better than a lost sinner coming to Jesus Christ? What else can we rejoice in any better than being blind, but now we see? Being lost, but now we're found. Praise God, what a blessing to take this day and turn it over to Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, well, I am saved, but I just ain't been believing Him. I ain't been trusting Him like I should. Well, praise God, don't stay another night with the frogs. Don't stay another night with the troubles and the cares of this life. Just come and turn it over to Him. Just come and give it to Him, praise God. Bible says He's meek and lowly. He said, just come and cast all your care upon Me. Praise God. We'd be a whole lot better off. We'd be a whole lot better off if we'd just trust Him more, wouldn't we? Not only that, but last of all, let me say, one more night with the frogs meant, especially for old Pharaoh here, and for a lot of folks too, it meant a false repentance. Amen? If he meant business with God, he'd have said, do it right now.
Amen.
What did he say? He said, you do this, you get these frogs out of here, and y'all can go worship. Many times he tried to make a bargain. You can't make a bargain with God. Amen? He don't come to your terms. You got to come to His. Amen. He says, you know, we'll let you go and do your sacrifice and come back. And then one time he said, you can go, but leave your women and children here. The men can go sacrifice. No. Then he said later, I tell you what, all y'all can go, sacrifice, go, leave, but just leave your cattle, leave your stuff, leave all that. And every time, it wasn't on God's terms, that was Pharaoh's terms. Every time God instructed Moses to tell him, no, we're going to take men, women, children, we're all going to leave, we're going to take our stuff, and we're going to leave, and we're not coming back. Amen. That's the way God was going to do business with him. But what did old Pharaoh do? He tried to make a bargain. He tried to make a deal. Don't we do that?
Sure we do.
We say, oh, yeah, Lord, I know, you know, I know I need to do this. I know I need to witness. I know I need to read my Bible. I know I need to pray. I know I need to be faithful to church. I know I need to tithe. I know, Lord, we'll say all that kind of stuff. But then we'll somehow ration ourselves out of it. Well, I tell you what we're doing. We're just saying, well, I'll just stay one more night with the frogs. I'll just stay in the same situation I'm in when we could be enjoying the blessings of God over in Canaan land. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It was false repentance that was seen in the heart of Pharaoh because he said, go and I'm going to allow you to go and allow you to sacrifice. But then he said, do it tomorrow. Do it tomorrow. No, if he meant business with God, he'd have said right now. He'd have said right now. Bible says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of God and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. The hardness of our heart, our impenitent heart, our heart that's callous and turned away from God. You know what folks need? You need a heart transplant. Like I said the other service, you need God to take that stony heart out and put in a heart of flesh. That's what He wants to do, praise God. Amen. I'm you know, folks will make a false profession, and I honestly, I have no idea knowing who's saved and who's not. And I have no idea knowing when folks come into service and make a commitment to God. Man, I've seen folks, I remember somebody we used to pick up for church and went down off the Tryon Courthouse Road, just down the road. And we was going to church over there in Dallas then before I set up the call to preach. And we picked this young man up. We picked him up for service, and under God, God got a hold of him. I believe God got a hold of him, but he come down, and I mean, he shed tears, and he cried, and I thought, Lord God, if anybody's saved, that boy is saved. He got down there at the altar and just wept. I thought he wept his way to Calvary.
Amen.
But I tried to pick him up for the service that night, and he wasn't a-going. And then talked to him the next week, and he wasn't a-going. And just kept trying to get him. I don't know what happened to him. But I honestly believe, looking back at it now, I think he made a false profession. I think he didn't mean business with God. It looked like he meant business with God. Then I'll never forget it. It was probably just a few weeks later. I brought somebody else to church. And they went down there to the altar. And I tell you what, they didn't make no, they didn't shout. They didn't jump up a holler. And they didn't cry. They didn't do nothing. They said they said the sinner's prayer. And they said they got saved just like that other boy did. But they showed up the next service and the next service.
Amen.
Took them down to the creek, baptized them. They stayed there in the house of God. Now, you can't tell. I mean, you don't know. And I don't know. That boy might have got saved too. I don't know. But there's something wrong when he didn't come back.
Amen.
And when he didn't get back in the house of God somewhere, amen, it don't matter if he come back where I brought him to, he needs to go where God wants him to go.
Amen.
But I tell you what, when it's real, when it's real, we won't want to go back. We won't want to be back in the same muck and mire that we were in. We won't want to continue with the frogs, amen. We'll say everything's all right now. I'm going to get it settled right now. I'm going to get it right now before God. Let me give you this verse and I'm done. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7. The Bible says, and this is a quote from the Old Testament, but in Hebrews 4:7 it says, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today, if you hear his voice, do business with God. Today, today's the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Don't say another night with the frogs, another minute with the frogs. Just say, praise God, I'm ready to get things right with the Lord. I tell you what, that was just a second plague. The water was turned to blood, then the frogs, then the lice and the flies, the death of the beast, the bulls appeared upon man and beast, hail that came down out of heaven, the locust that covered the earth, darkness upon the face of the earth, then the death of the firstborn child. That was just the beginning of sorrows. But they could have stopped right there, couldn't it? If he said, not going to spend another night with the frogs, and I'm going to truly repent before God. I'm going to truly let God's people go. There was a Pharaoh before him, wasn't he? That said to Joseph and his family, made him lord over all of Egypt, had the grace upon the children of Israel, had the grace upon Jacob and all of his children, brought them down and entreated them and took care of them. He could have been like that, couldn't he? He could have said, well, I know you're God's people. I know God sent a deliverer here. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you go. And in his heart, but no, what did he do? He kept hardening his heart. I hope we don't do that today. I hope we don't do that in our lives, but I pray that we'll just turn everything over to Jesus. Amen. It'll be all right. You might not understand it right now, but it'll be all right. You just turn it over to him. And I ain't saying everything's going to be a bed of roses after that. But you know, I tell you what, it's a whole lot better when you're trusting in God. It's a whole lot better when you believe in him. Amen. I ask musicians to come around with a song, Lord Knows Your Heart. Been a blessing to be in the Lord's house. Thank God for his goodness, for